Praise the Lord. Amen. I'll tell you, I'm looking to just pull myself right up to the table. Glory to God. I'm hungry for the word here today. Amen. For those that are here today, you may see that perhaps there might be someone possibly missing here today. Well, amen. Pastor Tim was invited to go out to the Dufresne's Bible Ministry Training Center, their Bible school, and minister this week. So that's where Pastor Tim is. Glory to God. Well, how many know we have a special treat here today? I love what God's doing in this church. There's so many capable ministries. Everyone has different giftings, different talents, different abilities. And we're in for a treat today because we have a special minister that's going to be sharing the word of God with us here today. And I'm hungry for it, I'll tell you what. So that's an invite. You know, when you have a different voice up here, that's an invite to just get on the edge of your seat and start pulling, because I'm excited about what the Lord has for us today. So at this time, why don't you help me welcome to the pulpit Reverend Tony Jones. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's so good to be in the house of God today, isn't it? Isn't it refreshing to be in the presence of the Lord? I tell you, in His presence is the fullness of joy. If you don't have joy, it's so easy to get right into His presence and to get refreshed every day, throughout the day. It doesn't matter where, it doesn't matter what's going on. It's this simple. Watch. Father, thank you. I love you. You're so good. Bam, you're in His presence. There's no preliminaries and like, oh, I need to go and get on my knees. Oh, let me go get my Bible. Let me read a verse first. Bam, He's right there. He's made it that simple for us. We just jump right into His presence. I'm so grateful for Pastor Tim and Pastor Katie, my pastors, whom I honor and love, and just so grateful that it took Pastor Tim to come along and help pull the gift of God out, you know, of my life and my wife. And because a year ago, what is it, September? I still would have went, or in October, I still would have said, no, I won't be in the pulpit doing anything like this. But why don't you look at your neighbor and say, hey, don't count me out. Come on, everybody, find somebody. Look at your neighbor, tell them, don't count me out. God's not finished with me yet. Look at somebody, tell them, God's not through with me. Amen. So never say never, which I didn't, but never say never. And it's just an honor and a privilege to be here. And I'm just going to share along the lines a little bit just to build you up, to encourage you, to help you along the lines of our righteousness in God. If I was to title this message, I would just call it, You Are Right. You know, now every now and then we get in a situation and we just like to say, I was right in this, you know, you were wrong, but I was right. But in the scenario that I'm talking about who we are in God and all that He's done for us through Jesus Christ. He's made us right. In case you feel you're saved, you're just saved, and you feel wrong all the time, you just need a good dose of what the righteousness of God is in your life. You're depressed, sad, down, discouraged. You don't necessarily need healing. You need a good dose of who I am in Christ Jesus. Just how He's made us righteous. And speaking of righteousness, it's a fundamental truth in the Word of God. It's basic to what God has provided for us, and I'll just kind of give you it's righteousness is also one of the great keys in helping us to fight the good fight of faith and helping us to stay strong in the Lord every day. And I'll give you a definition for righteousness. One is right standing with God, accepted by God, approved of by God, pleasing to God. It might be good if we just kind of repeat that out. Say, I am right with God.
I am right with God.
He is pleased with me.
He is pleased with me.
And He loves me.
And He loves me.
And He approves me.
And He approves me.
You know, we need approval sometimes. We do stuff and we go, oh, you need somebody to come along and just kind of pat you on the back that you did stuff. You know, and I used to be that way a long time ago. I just needed that reassurance that whatever it was I did, that somebody would come along and say, oh, that was great. That was a little struggle for a while in my life where I just like needed that. I remember when I didn't need that and all of a sudden 40s hit and I just like needed that extra. I don't know if it was the 40s or what, but I just needed that extra, you did a good job. But it wasn't a good thing in my case, because if I didn't hear that, if I didn't get that approval, I was ticked, I was upset, I was like, wow, did I really mess up or what? And so I came to the realization through many experiences that I have to get my approval from my Maker, from my Father God. You know, I can't look to other people for approval, because the moment you feel like you need somebody to come and do that, they are nowhere to be found. But who you do have is the presence of God. You have Him. And He's constantly saying, I love you. I approve of you. I care about you. I gave the best that I have for you. Jesus, I gave my very best so that you can live a victorious life and not need other people to come along and just kind of put you on the back. So let's say that again. I'm accepted by God. I'm pleasing to God. And I'm approved of by God. Amen. We can turn with me to a scripture, Romans, the first chapter, 16th, 17th verses. And it says here, I'll just go ahead and move along, Romans 1, 16 and 17, King James Version. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power, it meaning the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So I'm going to go back through that a little bit and just pull out a couple points. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ, within the gospel of Christ is divine power. At the core of the gospel of Christ, which the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, His resurrection, and all that that entailed for us, there's divine power in there. And the power, and it says, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Some won't ever experience this because they don't believe, or they won't believe, you know. So believing is key. Believing is key to us walking out our faith every day, walking out the righteousness that God has made us. But I want to go back to salvation. He says, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Now, whenever people come to the Lord, we say they got saved, right? They got saved. I'm saved. You know, that saved word comes from salvation. And salvation is big. Right here where it says, for it is the power of God. For the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. So salvation, the Greek word for salvation is sozo, S-O-Z-O. Sozo means, we kind of refer to it as the PhDs of salvation, preservation, healing, deliverance, safety, soundness, all within salvation. For the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. That salvation was for me. It was for you. It's what Jesus accomplished on the cross. So preservation. He preserves us. He takes care of us every day. We outlast others. You know, people that don't have. We just last longer. Our stuff lasts longer. It doesn't wear out quite as long. I mean, we just last long. Healing. Healing for our bodies. It is ours. To those that believe. Healing, not only for your body, but for your mind. And y'all know we need that sometimes. For our soul, which is our mind, our will, our emotions. Man, do we need healing in there sometime. But it's already made ours. You know, people are on barbiturates, and maybe you're in here, and I'm not picking on anybody. I'm here to tell you because I love you, and I want you to have God's best. You might be on depression medicine or this medicine or on that medicine. Keep dosing yourself in the revelation of who we are, who you are in Christ. You won't need all that stuff. You just won't need it. Healing, preservation, healing, deliverance. Hadn't he delivered you?
Yes.
Hallelujah. From whatever, cigarettes, from gambling, from all sexual vices, just all kind of stuff. God is our deliverer. He'll snatch you out of that. If you believe, you turn to him, he'll snatch you right over. Safety. Every day we experience the safety, the safeness of God. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, Psalms 91, shall abide every day in safety. Yeah. Thank you, Father. And then soundness. You know, I'm not all over the place. I'm sound. You know, I'm not batty and running like, what's next? And what, you know, walking in the Spirit every day. You walk in the presence of the Lord. The Holy Spirit will just lead you. He'll guide you. He'll prompt you, go here. Do that. It's not a striving. We're sound. We got it made, saints. And if you're in here and you haven't experienced, you're not saved yet, man, it's time, woman, it's time to come on in. Jesus is soon to come back. Hallelujah. So sozo, the salvation, saved. You see what we got? Hallelujah. We're blessed. So the gospel of Christ contains divine power. And that power is for our safety, our preservation, our deliverance, so that we can walk a life full of God every day.
Amen.
Having a righteous conscience, righteous, I'm right with God, I'm approved of God, yes. He loves me, I'm okay, you're okay. Okay. Having that consciousness helps you to walk boldly to the throne of grace every day, all throughout the day. If you live in condemnation, you live guilty, feeling less than adequate, feeling insufficient, you know, regardless of what happened in your life, you don't have to live that way. We've got the answer. You have the answer. And it's just walking out by faith who we are. On the flip side, when we're not walking boldly, or when we don't come to God, when we're not feeling right with God, what do? We all shrink back from God, and you just push away. How about a story right here? Okay, everybody likes a good once upon a time story, right? Okay. So once upon a time, there was a young teenager who loved God with all their heart and was serving God, but was constantly condemned, feeling guilty, because they were a young teenager. And they were dealing with stuff. And the enemy came along and constantly accused them, told them, you know, you messed up, you're not saved. That same young person went along and later on up life got married, had children. And after, I think, the second child, he and his wife bought a home. And wonderful. First home, so excited. And about 10, 11 years later, this young man lost his home, went into foreclosure, and it devastated him. I mean, when I say devastated, it just like knocked the wind out. And that young man was me. And I think 10 years later, so we were probably 11, 12 years married. And I lost my first home, and man, I'm not talking for the space of a month or 6 months, but for several years, the enemy beat me up bad. I just couldn't believe that it had happened, that I lost a home, and it was due. A lot of it was due to unfortunate things happening, lack of wisdom, lack of knowledge in how handling some things, and. So I was feeling very inadequate, very less than, very much a failure, no matter how much I was saved, sanctified, filled with the Spirit of God. But every day walking out this, oh man. And I don't know how many times I asked the Lord to forgive me. And, you know, his word already says that, you know, when you come to him, he's faithful and just to forgive you. But somehow, y'all know, somehow you just like, well, I need to ask again. I know it's 3 years later, but I'm still asking forgiveness for something that happened so long ago. But I still feel guilty. My conscience is all messed up, it's stained. And I begin to get in the word more and more, because I was under the word every day. I was doing what you see me doing today, basically at church and just serving God, but just was a guilty feeling guy. And I tell you what, there's nothing like the blood of Jesus Christ. I tell you, the blood, the blood, the blood. You'll hear some of those songs, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow. What's another song? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The whole foundation of our existence as Christians is founded on the fact that Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God, offered up, he was sinless, he offered up his blood to the Father once and for all. In fact, let's kind of go to that scripture. Once and for all, he offered up his blood, and that blood took care of everything. Hebrews 9, verse 12 through 14. King James. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Amen. See, it's only the blood that can go in. That abortion you may have experienced, that divorce that you may have gone through, you're not with your child like you want to be. Just all kind of things in life happen. And the enemy will come in. I mean, that's his whole job, is to prevent you from walking in a powerful Christian life so you can't affect anybody. Let's come up out of this so that we can go out and affect the world and help somebody else. Jesus is soon to come back, and here I am stuck on my mess as a Christian. Somebody always got to come to my aid. But he really wants you just live the victorious life. My blood has cleansed you from everything. It's washed, it's taken away. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know how we sing the song, Just As I Am, Without One Plea? And, you know, that song can be sung, I've heard it sung for altar calls, you know, the call for salvation, and also for healing. At healing time, I've heard it sung, because it's speaking about just as I am, without one plea. And that plea is talking about as if you're in a court, and, you know, and you have to offer up a plea. You know, you have to come to a resolution about what it is you're going to make a decision on, and here is my plea. That song says, just as I am, without one plea, I just come. But that thy blood was shed for me. So they say, how do you plead? I say, I plead innocent. Because of the blood. The blood of Jesus has already washed you. He's already cleansed you. All you got to do is walk it out every day. Thank you, Lord. One way to walk it out is continually renewing your mind to what the Word of God says. And let's turn to Philemon chapter 1. It's only one chapter. And verse 6. Philemon 1:6, King James Version. Then I'm going to have it in the Amplified. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual or effective by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Just talked about all the good things in us. Salvation, right? Saved, I'm saved. What is salvation? What's that Greek word? Sozo. And what was it, the PhDs? Preservation. Healing is mine. It's yours. Deliverance. Safety. Soundness. That's all ours. This scripture here says, let's go ahead and read it in the Amplified version. And I pray that the participation in and sharing of your faith may produce and promote full recognition and full appreciation and full understanding and precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours and our identification with Christ Jesus and unto his glory. You see, as you daily, which this isn't a one-time thing, it's a daily walking this out. Part of your Christian walk is to confess the word. If you like, you know, I just don't like that. Well, you know what? You just need to stop and just get over it. Because this Christianity is a faith of confession. You don't get saved, you don't receive Christ unless you believe in your heart. And then what you believe, you got to speak it out. We just have to speak every day. I remember years ago when we lived in Florida, my wife, she spoke a message in service. And the message was, don't stop speaking. Don't stop speaking. And that's the thing. A lot of times we just clam up, let the devil just defeat us. And like, what do I do? You gotta be bold. You gotta act like your life matters. And you have to speak the word out of your mouth every day. And this here says, acknowledging every good thing that is in me, that is in you, in Christ Jesus. Every day we need to acknowledge that I'm right with God.
Right.
Okay, so even though I've been preparing for this message for years now, I've been saying one of the first things I say when I get up in the morning, I'm right with God.
Yeah.
Because I know that's an area that the enemy would try and come and knock me off. So I just, you know, the scripture says we're not ignorant of how the enemy, of his devices and how he comes against. You know how the devil comes against you. So you need to stand up, take the word, and with, like a sword, you say, nope, I'm being proactive here. Nope. I wake up. One of the first things I say is I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm right with God. He's pleased with me. He loves me. I have the peace of God, and that kind of sets the stage for the day. You know, I go on with some other things. I'm sure you all do, too. Some y'all do that, right? Get up. If you don't, you know, time your foot hit the floor, you need to be saying something. You need to be saying something. You need to be applying the blood by faith with your tongue. Speaking, because it's the blood that cleanses. It's the blood that's washed us. So just applying the blood and keep having faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you. Let's go over to Revelations 12 and verse 10. Revelations 12:10, King James Version. And it says, and I pray that the participation, oh, she didn't change it yet. Sorry. I'm sorry, Revelations 12:10. And I think I have part of it here. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. And the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
You know, that's what the enemy's doing. Yeah, I want to know where is the devil, what he's doing. You know, he don't necessarily know all your stuff. One thing you can count on, he's accusing you, though. What does it say right here? He's before God day and night accusing us. And those accusations is what he tries to throw in your mind. And remember, they're only suggestions. These are not truths that the enemy brings. He only brings lies. He's the father of lies. And he'll bring that suggestion. Don't take it. You have to, what did I say? You got to open your mouth and you got to speak out. I am right with God. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm not taking that. I don't care what he accused you of. You know, your past, whatever, it's behind you. You know, you just can't drive a car forward constantly staring in the rearview mirror. You just can't. You gotta go forward. You gotta let the past go so that you can walk out a victorious Christian life. And part of my other part of this message, and being affect other people. You know, we gotta bring some others in. You know, people need us strong in the Lord. They need us at our best. Even your brothers and sisters, when you all down and out and sad and depressed, I mean, you're not even a help to your own brothers and sisters. And I'm not making light of anyone that's struggling with anything. That's not my whole point is to help bring you up. And it's the good news of Jesus Christ to help bring you up so that you can walk out this thing every day. And let's go on. Verse 11. And they overcame him, they the saints, overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. To live free, we have to have faith in the spotless blood of Jesus Christ. That's the blood. When God looks at us and when he's in heaven, the blood of Jesus changed heaven. You know, God, you know, looks at us now through the blood of Jesus. You know, he doesn't look at you. Under the Old Testament, when they worshiped God, the priest would go and find a lamb, a spotless lamb, and he would look at the lamb and examine the lamb. Now they were all coming to worship, but he wasn't looking at the worshipers. The priest was looking at the lamb, and if the lamb was spotless and clean, then the sacrifice to God was acceptable, and the people's sins were forgiven. So he's not ever looking at you anymore. He's looking to the blood. He's looking through the eyes of the blood of Jesus. So whatever it is that's dogged you for years, let it go. Let it go. Okay, time for another quick story. This illustration here about a coach. In playing tennis, basketball, baseball, whatever, a good coach will tell a player who missed a shot to, you know, it's okay, because, you know, if that player keeps thinking about the shot he missed, you know some more missed shots are coming, and it's going to affect the whole team, right? You know, so a good coach will say, all right, just let it go. It's okay. And he'll just say, just shake it off and let's keep going. And that's what Jesus has done for us. We have the ability to just shake it off. You know, you mess up and I mess up, but God's made a way for us to get right. You know, First John, let's just hit 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. Somebody say faithful.
Faithful.
Hallelujah. And just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Father. We thank you. I want you to just worship God for a minute here. Thank him for his cleansing blood of Jesus. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. God's not looking at us. He's not looking at you. But he's looking at you through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Another scripture here. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. And it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And one version say a new creation altogether that never existed. I mean, we got dynamite power in us. The DNA of God. You talk about DNA today. Pull it out and see. You can trace it to who it is. The DNA, the dynamite power of God is in us every day. That power is there for us to live out a victorious life every day. Preservation, healing, deliverance, safety, soundness. Salvation. I'm saved. And having said that, that's what I have. That's what you have. And that power is there for us. And, you know, so we just keep walking that. What scripture was I on? Second. Okay, there it is. Okay, let's keep reading that. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Let me put a comma right there. You know, this is all about bringing him back to us so that we can turn around and bring somebody to him. Yeah. Reconciliation, right? Yeah. Right? That's why we got to grow up in some things, right, everybody? We've got to grow up in these things so that we can affect people around us. We can affect our families. We can affect, you know, people on your jobs, wherever you are. God wants us to be effective at what we do. It says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 21, for he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made, that's where we get that phrase, the righteousness of God in Christ, in him. Hallelujah. We don't have to be guilty, feel guilty, condemned. Condemnation really just means judged guilty. And Romans 8 tells us, first verse, I believe it is, there is therefore now no condemnation to the saints. There's no condemnation to us, you know. He's not condemning us. He's not, that's already, all of his wrath is already been poured on to Jesus when he was at the cross. All the wrath that God had concerning sin, when Jesus became sin for us, he took on every single thing that you will ever do, I will ever do, the world, all of humanity. How awesome is that? God was personally in Jesus Christ reconciling us back to him. What great love. Never question the love of God. That's why we can say he loves me. I know he loves me. That's why you can say, so why don't you say it? Say, God loves me. Why don't you just close your eyes? Everybody, just close your eyes for a second. Just touch your heart, touch your belly. Just say, God loves me. And he is pleased with me. He's not mad at me. All of his anger, all of his wrath, he put it on Christ. That I might have his forgiveness, that I might have his love, that I might have all that heaven offers us. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. And so he's made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So every day, you know, part of my confession too is I'm the righteousness of God. I'm right with God. It's important to make sure if you're ever struggling with guilt, shame, you know, things of the past, man, just come. The blood of Jesus is already, you know. He says, the word of my testimony. See, testimony means somebody is speaking, right? Somebody's. It's all, a lot of this is it's like at the courts language you'll hear throughout the Bible, because we've already been judged innocent. You know, God's already taken care of us. So our testimony is to continually be, I am right with God. He loves me. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus by the blood, the spotless blood of the Lamb. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Never minimize the power of the blood of Jesus to take care of every single thing that you might have ever done or tripped up in your life. If Jesus took his blood up to heaven, and God doesn't remember anymore, certainly the blood of Jesus is able to cleanse your conscience from anything so that you can live in victory every day. That's what it's all about, living victorious every day, walking out this thing every day. Hallelujah. Well, I think I'm just about done. And I think I'm, I'll just end this kind of with one more scripture that comes to my mind. Malachi, 4th chapter, in the 2nd verse. Hallelujah. Say, God loves me. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All day long, you just need to walk about going, God loves me, God loves me, God loves me. Secure yourself in that. Secure yourself in it. Become proficient at speaking about what God's done and what he's doing in your life. We have to open our mouths. We have to get up under the rays of what he's done for us. Malachi 4:2, King James. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Wow. The Son, who is the Son of Righteousness? You know, they got S-U-N just to kind of denote the rays and beams. What we're talking about, the Son of God. Who is the Son of Righteousness, who's obtained all of our righteousness. The foundation of our faith is built on the fact that God has made us right with him by the blood of Jesus. Let's read that out in the Amplified Version. Malachi 4:2. But unto you who revere and worshipfully fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings and his beams, and you shall go forth and gambol, which means to leap, like calves released from the stall, and leap for joy. So what does that mean? You know, you going through stuff, get up under the rays, under the beams of the Son of Righteousness. Jesus is the Son of Righteousness, and his beams, and we already know what's in it. He saved us, and what's in that? Preservation, healing, deliverance, safety, soundness, everything. In essence, it's I think it's 3 John 2. And beloved, I pray that you would prosper and be in health as your soul prosper. Oh, that's what that means. He wants you just up under the rays of his presence, under his wings. You can see the beams of healing coming. The beams of his presence just coming onto you. Just get up in his presence and just thank him. Hallelujah. Just worship him. He loves you. Hallelujah. Now, this is only going to work for people that'll believe and people that'll speak the word. People that come in and just won't, you're going to keep your mouth shut no matter what happens. You're just not going to lift your hands. You're just not going to, you know, be demonstrative. If you can't demonstrate in the house of God, you'll be no witness out there. So this is the time while we're in the house of God. Lift up hands. Holler, thanking him that he's preserved us. He's healed us. He's delivered us. He's saved us. We're sound. We're right with God. He loves us unconditionally. Hallelujah. We bless you, God. Thank you, Lord. You're so good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want to leave with you that he loves you more than you can ever know. But he loved you so much that he gave all that he had for us. Romans 8, I believe it is, around 31, verse 32. He that spareth not, he meaning God, who spared not his own son, Jesus Christ, but delivered him up on the cross for us all. If he did that, how much more will he give us all things that we have desire of, that are in line with the word? How much more will he give and ensure that your healing comes for your mind, for whatever, your body? How much more will he make sure that all that you have need of is supplied? How much more? He gave his best. It's just up to us to just take it. Hallelujah. Just take it by faith. Hallelujah. And I just pray today that your hearts, your spirit was fed, you know. I just wanted to make sure that Pastor Tim told me to feed, give him Jesus. That's what he said. Pastor Chris also said, give him Jesus. I went, all right. Well, what my hope is that your spirit is changed. Your spirit from God when he came in and saved you. Now that spirit is perfect. There's nothing, but your own spirit. You take some of these things in and allow it to change you. Allow the word to change you so that we come up in some things. You know, we're a growing church. You know, other churches are coming up out of us. You know, we're not a babe in Christ church. We do have babes in Christ, and our job is to help feed, nourish, grow. But we're growing up fast. Pastor Tim is trying to get the word in us. It's up to us to every day of our lives, live out that word so that we can be effective, so that we can offer the gift of reconciliation that Jesus already gave to us, so that we can turn around and give it to somebody else. So the Son of Righteousness is risen with healing in his wings. From those wings comes the beams of his presence. From the beams of his presence, take everything that you need. Just take it. Take it. Your finances, your stuff going on your job, take it. Keep the right things in your mouth. Keep the right things in your mouth. It'll affect, you know, your receiving. So God bless you. I love you and appreciate you. And Pastor Brad is coming at this time. Praise God.
Glory to God. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I was fed today. Yeah. Glory to God. What a blessing. You know, I always love what Pastor says, that we're highly loved, highly blessed, highly favored. We're highly loved, highly blessed, and highly favored. What is that? We're confessing the words of our mouth. Amen. I didn't, you know some of those things, Reverend, about you concerning the stories that you're telling and everything. You know, that is just... It's everyone has a testimony. Everyone comes from something. But I'll tell you, you know, we're fortified by the word of God. You know, over there we know the 23rd Psalm. It says that he's a restorer of our soul. How do you get restored in your soul? By sitting under the word of God, renewing your mind. And I'll tell you this too, that if you want a quick restoration process, give yourself to more time under the word. You want a long restoration process, give yourself 1 minute, 5 minutes, every couple days. Just dabbling in the things of God. I'll tell you, the more you give into the things of God, the more you'll renew your mind. I like also what he shared over there in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He says, "For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." You are made the righteousness of God. You're not trying to get righteous through your good works, just like I'm not trying to get a man. I am a man. I've been made a man. Now, I know society might, you know, bring a little confusion to what sex they may or may not be, but I've been made a man, therefore I am a man. Well, you, in like manner, have been made the righteousness of God. You're not going to get any more righteous than what you are right now. You will manifest what you are by giving yourself to the Word of God, like Reverend Tony said, and confessing the words out of your mouth. I am the righteousness of God. I am right with God. Glory to God. Amen. I love that. That's just such good homework for all of us. Because, you know, it's interesting. And, you know, that ministered to me a great deal because, you know, we all go through different trials and we all go through different situations. And we've come through a point over the last couple months where, you know, there's things that weigh so heavily on myself and have weighed heavily on myself, where it's almost like a blanket comes over you and you're so quiet. You just don't want to say anything because you're so pounded on every side because of your past circumstance, because of your upbringing, because of everything that you thought you never had growing up, because of what someone said, because of what circumstance, how people hurt you, people abuse you, people stole from you, people robbed from you, all these things that would try to keep you quiet. I was sitting, we were driving one time, and it was one morning, and Stephanie and I were maybe doing our weekend errands and stuff. And it was so to the point where I was just cloaked so much with condemnation, feeling insignificant. How is this going to happen? How is this going to come to be? And Stephanie, it was physical, where she looked over me and she says, "Now's not the time to be quiet." She looked at me. It was just so real and so heavy. You know, thoughts of suicide, thoughts of giving up, thoughts of quitting, thoughts of giving, throwing in the towel. All these things would try to tell you to be quiet and to shut up, to retreat, to back off. Now's not your time to do that. Now's time to declare that you are the righteousness of God. Glory to God that he made you the righteousness, that he gave you deliverance, that he gave you healing. Glory to God. Now's your time to speak what he's made you to be and say, "It doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter what my past has brought me. I am the righteousness of God because he made me righteous." Glory to God. Now's your time to speak up. Amen. Glory to God. That was such a blessing to me, brother. Thank you so much. Glory to God. We're fed here today. Amen. Glory to God.